Praise God. How's everybody this morning? I just want to say really quick, as of a couple days ago, we have a new president. And, you know, I kind of watch on social media, see reaction to things, a little bit on the news. And we are, at this point in time, quite a divided nation. Like Joe was sharing, we have responsibilities when it comes to those kind of things. And whether, you know, I was thinking there are probably not just two sides, there are like three sides to this thing. There are those who are, thank God, we got the man in office that we need to have in office. There's the side, oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? We got the wrong person. And then there's a side that it doesn't matter who was in there, the nation's all messed up and, you know, nothing good is happening anyway. So in the midst of all this, we have the children of God who have responsibilities to represent God in the midst of all this. One of the group of people that Jesus said would be blessed are the peacemakers. Don't be one of the people that stir everything up. You know, there's a few things I really despise in life, and one of those things is trash talk. I don't understand it. I didn't grow up with that. But it's a big thing now. You know, you score a basket, then you get in the other guy's face and tell him what to think of him, and didn't I show you up, and all this kind of stuff. Same kind of thing's going on now from the Trump side. I'm not telling if you know me, you know what we believe, and we stand for the issues, not the people. But we can get over on that side and we got the guy that we want, and your guy is all messed up and now everything's gonna be perfect. And it ain't. Because no matter even if you have the right person in there, he can't do everything that he wants to do. And that's one of the first things they find out when they get in there is, I can't do everything I wanted to do. But God can. So what I'm saying is, whatever side you find yourself, find it on, don't stir up trouble. Be a peacemaker. Let's do what the Bible says and pray for President Trump right from the very beginning. Be honest with you, I wasn't happy with eight years ago when the election, and I thought we got the wrong person, but it didn't help any to just sit around and mope about that, complain about that. What are we going to do now? Better to pray and treat everybody as valuable and precious before the Lord. All right, that's the end of that sermon. James chapter 1. Years ago, we had a couple in the church. Actually, Diane and I performed their wedding for them. The lady's name was Ruth, and they fellowshiped here for a while, went on to other things. So since she left, we're ruthless. Dylan, I needed you on that one. But I remember watching Ruth was, I don't remember seeing her smile. She was sad all the time. And one day she pulled me aside and asked if she could talk to me. So she was basically saying in so many words, she was having trouble loving God. To be honest, probably mad and angry with God. And I said, well, you know, what about the Lord Jesus? She said, well, I love Jesus because he died for me. It's God. I have a problem. Now, that's the only time I heard that over the years. Love Jesus, having trouble with God. And, you know, Chuck, I don't think I ever got anything across to her, but what it came down to was she felt like God had let her down, hadn't come through. She was doing whatever she needed to do, and God didn't come through. And I think we probably all faced that somewhere along the way. Hopefully we haven't developed a whole attitude in our lifetime. I didn't get healed when I needed to get healed. I showed up on Sunday morning and still have symptoms. You know, those kind of things. The money wasn't there when I felt like I needed it. Relationship didn't work out like I wanted it to. All those kind of things. And then we, when it doesn't happen the way that we wanted it to, that can be a heart-rending. Somebody's upstairs, I think. That will affect our heart, is what it comes down to. And it'll affect it as much as we allow it to. If it becomes, I think a lot of things we just look at like, well, I just didn't quite ever do or know or whatever, everything that I needed to. And so we look, make some change in the future. Or after a while, you start feeling beat down, and you think, well, and we start going through the motions of Christianity without really any faith, any heart faith behind it, because we tried in the past, and we'll try it again, but probably nothing will happen this time. If we believe probably nothing will happen this time, probably nothing will happen this time. So it comes down to a certain few things, when God's involved in the process, it's always supposed to be simple. It's not supposed to be deep and devious and hard to figure out. It's supposed to be simple. If it's not simple, it probably isn't God. We have to get back to that again. And Diane started to get back into this last week with this principle of application is really what it comes down to. Information, application, transformation. If you think about, for most of you, as I look around, how many sermons you've heard, and not just Sunday morning or the books we've gone through on Thursday nights, but you've listened to tapes, when it was tapes and CDs, and you've watched Christian TV, and you've conversed with each other, and I'm putting me in there too. If it was just getting the right information, we must, if we haven't gotten it by now, I don't know if we're going to. It's about what are we applying? What information are we applying over the years? Now, James chapter 1, verse 21. I'm going to read this out of Phillips' translation. I think Diane used this last week also. Oh, this is the one you didn't do. Okay.
I missed a whole page of notes last week. He's going to teach it for me today.
So I thought I'd fill it in here, yeah. Phillips' translation, James 1:21 and on. Have done then with impurity and evil every other evil which touches the lives of others, and humbly accept the message that God has sown in your hearts, which can save your souls. It's not talking about getting being born again. It's talking about just saving your soul, getting your mind, will, and emotions straightened out. Don't, I beg you, only hear the message, but put it into practice. Otherwise, you are merely deluding yourself. It's one of these areas we wouldn't need any help from the devil. We delude ourselves because we're not putting into practice what we hear. In other words, it's dangerous to hear without putting it into practice. Otherwise, you're merely just delusing yourselves. The man who simply hears and does nothing about it is like a man catching the reflection of his own face in a mirror. He sees himself, it is true, but he goes on wherever he was going, whatever he was doing, without the slightest recollection of what sort of person he saw in the mirror. But the man who looks into the perfect mirror of God's law, the law of liberty or freedom, and makes a habit of so doing, is not the man who sees and forgets. He puts that law into practice and wins true happiness. Putting into practice. When you look up the words in the original language, it's just what it sounds like. It's just putting action to what we have heard. Not just saying, boy, that was good. Good message today. Listened to a CD the other day, and man, it was good. Let me tell you what was on there. It's not just about getting, because we can very easily get not only an understanding to a certain degree in the mind, but an excitement about it in the mind without getting it to a heart level, which is where it needs to go. And that happens by application, giving persistent attention to the original language and verse. Now, Diane was reading to me from a book that she's been reading, Enjoy Healing Now by Donna Crowe, and here's some statements from there. The reason some people don't do the word is because they believe that their flesh is who they really are. Instead of seeing themselves as what God's word says we are, righteous new creations in Christ. If you really believe what the word says about you, you will walk in it because it is the key to your freedom. Apparently I'm going to get a new mic, huh? But if you believe that you are your flesh, then you'll feel that you have disappointed God, and you'll feel bad about yourself, feel hopeless, and give up. Now, think about it from this standpoint. Our flesh is, in this case, where we're trying to succeed, but we're failing. We, especially areas that we might fail in often. Ooh. All right. Yeah, get a leave here. Okay. Thank you. Talking about the flesh. If you think that you are the flesh is the real you, not who. Now we're talking about a born again child of God. You think the flesh is the real you, then you're going to be discouraged about yourself. Now even when you think now, Diane's done some great teaching here in the area of temperaments. And, you know, leader, expressor, and dependable. And there's a lot of truth there. It's helped us a lot to learn that we're different and we're the same in those kind of things. But there's also a weakness strength factor. And every different temperament can be weak in certain areas. But we don't have to be weak in those areas. So, you know, it's very easy to say that, well, I'm a leader, so I'm going to be in your face, whether you like it or not. I'm a dependable, so I'm just going to lay back and let somebody else do it. You know, you can make that as an excuse. And what that is the flesh. The flesh side is weak, but the spirit side is strong. Because we need the strength of the leader, and we need the expressiveness of the expressor, and the analytical thinking of the analyst, and the people responsibilities for the dependable and so on. To be strong in their particular areas. About a week or so ago, Diane and I were eating breakfast. After breakfast, I do my supplements. Had a bunch of them. And so I was working my way through them, and swallowing has been a little problem recently. But I came to some capsules. You know what I mean by a capsule? It's got a plastic, and it's got some stuff. What's it made of? I knew I was going to play plastic, and I knew she was going to get on my case. It's got something on the outside that's supposed to disintegrate. It's supposed to, once you swallow it. Anyway, I got it. I swallowed it, but it only went down a little ways. It just sat there in the back of my throat. So I'm trying not to be concerned about this. It's not, I can talk and breathe. Which is good. So I'm just kind of, I took another swallow of water, waiting for this thing to go down. And so I didn't think about it much, and all of a sudden, what it was supposed to do in my stomach, it did in my throat. The outside disintegrated, and whatever was inside burned. It was acidic, it was, I don't know what it was in there, but it was painful. It was vitamin C. I think it does better in the stomach than it does in the throat. Now, at this point, being the man of faith and power that I am, I panicked. And I shouted, Diane! Like she's going to crawl down there and find out what's going on. She's reminding me, you can breathe. You're talking. That's a good sign. and take, you know, just calm down while I'm panicking. And I'd like to say that real quick that I calmed down, but eventually I calmed down. Swallow some more water. But there's something about not being able to breathe. Amen. It's not much fun. Some of you heard I've heard it illustrated that when we want God so much that, you know, everybody hold your breath, you know, and then now when you want God as much as you want that next breath, then you're really ready to serve Him. I don't hold my breath when they tell me to do that. I don't like to even think about that. There's something in my heart from way back that I haven't figured out yet, but I believe God's changing. That has to do with not breathing. So when I have a challenge in that area, it's not much fun. But anyway, I noticed that I did get breathing again, and it finally went down, stopped burning after a while. And so I went to on to the next thing, which is to brush my teeth, which seems to be where God talks to me for some reason. Probably should brush my teeth more often. So anyway, as I'm brushing my teeth and conversing in my head and heart with the Lord, Zeller, I'm sorry, that's, man, not very, should trust you more than that. And I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was so real. He said, I love you. I'm not against you. I'm for you. I'm not judging you. I'll be there for you. Just calm down. Just keep going forward. And boy, did I need to hear that. Because especially when you know, there's some areas we've got some information, but we're having trouble applying the information that we have. And you think the way that we would react, had we been the other side of that, giving the information. And in fact, I know that as leaders, we've had this conversation with, well, we told them what to do, they just wouldn't do it. I mean, what if God was judgmental that way and said, I told them, that's it, sorry. Now, I do believe there's a point where we make it difficult for God to reach in and not bring to pass because it's already done, but to help us like He'd like to, because we have taken His hands off so much. But you understand what I'm saying? There's an application feature in the midst of all this, and if you haven't up to this point, like Diane was saying this morning, they're trying to give you some information as far as being blessed financially, but it doesn't help for us to judge you. It doesn't help for you to judge us. It doesn't help for you to judge yourself, really, when it comes down to it. To judge in the sense of saying, I'm guilty. I feel awful. Be better just to get back to focusing on who we are in Christ. Proverbs chapter 23. Verse 12 says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Amen. Apply your heart. This is the challenge, I think, is if we're after God at all, we apply our mind to a certain extent. It's getting the heart, applying your heart. And one of the things I want to get across to you this morning is applying your heart is more than just making yourself do what you know is right. This is what we focus on a lot of times. Well, I'm going to get that right next time. I won't mess up there again. I'm going to do more of this, and I'm going to do less of that. And that in itself is not going to change your heart. It's not a hard application. We're a lot out here kind of people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Exterior, flesh, mind, but being the heart people is a little different challenge. It's not really that it's harder, it's just that it's different. We're so used to doing everything on a mental, physical level, and we come back to the heart, and That's what I'm finding out. I've been a Christian since I was 6, 7, 8 years old, somewhere in there. And baptized in the Holy Spirit at 12. And, you know, grew up in church and went to Bible school and Bible college and Rhema and all those things. And been preaching now for full-time here for 36 years, going on 37, I think. Whatever it is, it's a long time. But just spending time basically facing the right direction doesn't get you good and give you heart level. And what we found out over the last few years now is that's what we've been missing. It's the heart. It's about the heart level. It's and God has been patient with us. God's been patient with me, I know that. So we come around, and one of the things is being willing to admit that you're missing an application, missing a part. And not saying, well, nobody's going to tell me where I'm missing it. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Who are you to tell me? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. This is out of the the New International Version. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Thank God, thank God. Now I know that's somewhat talking about heaven, but that's not all. There's a rest here. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Talking about the children of Israel in the Old Testament. They missed out on the rest. They were supposed to be marching towards the rest, but they didn't get there. And we don't want to miss, according to the same lack that they had. Make every effort to enter that rest. Or your translation may say, labor to enter that rest. Now that those two things seem to be hard to put together. Labor, rest. When I get done with the labor, then I rest. But we need to learn to labor and rest at the same time. Do the right kind of labor and there'll be a rest in that. There is a principle called, and this is really what it's based upon, the rest of faith, not the rest of faith and that you didn't get it all and you got more to get, but the rest of faith is resting in faith. And really, and again, not for judgment, because we probably could all say we're guilty. We haven't done much resting when it comes to it, of faith. I've said in the past, somebody will say, well, you know, old Brother Henry's just living by faith and we feel sorry for him. Poor guy. Really had to struggle. But that's what we did. Walking by faith. Whew, man. Tough. Every day's tough. It's not tough. When we're really in heart faith, when then we're resting in it, it's not, oh man, another day and didn't come to pass. No, it's our day. I already got it. No problem. Here's what it comes down to. Change is really what we're after. Amen. Change emphasizes becoming. Transformation puts a focus on being. Do you understand the difference between the two? If we're just trying to become what we really want to be or what we think God wants us to be, then that means that we aren't what God really wants us to be. Think about it a little bit. I'm trying to really become a child of God. No, I am a child of God. Now, here's that part should be pretty easy, but I'm trying to become healed. I am healed. I'm trying to become prosperous. You understand what I'm saying? This is the change in not just thinking. This is the change that needs to happen in heart level. And according to what we read here, there's a labor to this being thing. We don't labor to become. We labor to understand who we are is where our efforts should focus on convincing ourselves of who we are in Christ. If you're going to work at it, don't work on becoming. Work on understanding who you are. That would be a good place to focus. Now, this way, I'm reading another book by Dr. Richardson. One of the things he brought up is that application is not a math problem. I had to think about that for a while, and so I read on. Math is, you know, what do I need to add or what do I need to subtract from my life to become what I think God wants me to be? Now, none of us would do that. At least not in the last minute or so, anyway. You understand? This is what we're trying to do. If I just add that to my life, then I think I'll start becoming what God wants me to be. Or if I can just take that out of my life, probably more often it's that, if I can just get that out of my life. But either as I mean, if I can just pray more, man. You know, we read about somebody, and I've done this, read about somebody who started his day for the first, get up early in the morning and all the way to lunchtime, prayed every day. Just spent time praying and reading his Bible. He'd read through the whole Bible in a week or so, and then start over again. Guy's on TV, I can't think of his name now. Praise God. And it's working for him too. So before you think, man, if I did that, man, if I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and just crawled right out of bed and didn't eat breakfast or anything, just got right into my Bible and started, just spent that time on my knees before the Lord, wow, think of what my life would be. It's easy to think that way. Or if, add something else, if I stayed up all night and prayed, that would change my life. If I just did this more, if I put more of that, and then we get over on the other side. If I just stop doing that, if I just stop saying those things, if I just... You know, if I could just be like Doreen, always be positive all the time, be happy. And so a lot of times, if I could just be like a certain person, whatever. But it's not a matter of math. It's not a matter of taking away or adding to. It's who are you? Who are you really inside? Transformation comes from being. Since you can't increase being, this means you can only increase your awareness of being. Let me read that again. Transformation comes by being. Since you can't increase being, this means you can only increase your awareness of being. If you are, let's say, you are an American, you can't be any more American. You can act more like it, I suppose, or less. But whoever you are, that's who you are. So you can't add or subtract from that. It's who you are. So when I was in elementary school, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I am born again, child of God. That's what I should be reminding myself of. That's what I need to be more aware of. What does that mean? Well, a lot of Christians don't even think what does that mean to be a child of God? Just something we say in church, remind yourself, and then try to hope nobody else finds out during the week. Sometimes that's true. Are we children of God? Are we saved then? Are we forgiven? Are we accepted in the beloved? Are we qualified for all the promises? Are we healed? Are we delivered? Are we sanctified? Yes. Justified? Yes. Are we made more than conquerors? Those are the kind of things that we need to make ourselves aware of. And it isn't going to happen just by rattling off a couple of quick confessions of faith, but focusing on who we are, being. And when the awareness of being changes on the outside. You know, like what, one of the things that Diane was saying was, when you know who you are, giving is not a problem. Giving becomes a problem because you don't know who you are, because you're not expecting really to be taken care of. But a child of God would be expected to be taken care of. I can give you my coat because God will make sure I get one. I can put money into whatever it is because, you know, it's not, when I give it to you, that's not the end of it. It's just a process of bringing it around and Him taking care of me. Seeds in the ground produce the harvest. All right, more scripture. Mark chapter 4. If we're going to labor to come to this awareness, then we need to have a tool, a Bible tool, that will work for us. Amen. Good to have the right tool, isn't it?
Amen.
We bought our a brand new Chevy Malibu in 79. We went through it, and then Shell went through it, and then by the time Jeff got it, it was kind of like the Flintstones car. Could actually see the ground underneath the floorboards, as I remember, you know, kind of get going. But the reason I bring that up is because when we got it, there were certain screws and around the headlights and so on that required a special screwdriver. It wasn't slot, it wasn't Phillips, it was Star, or something I'd never seen before. You had to buy a special tool just to do that one particular thing. Well, there's a tool that works for us, praise God.
Amen.
And it's called meditation. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Amplified Bible says it this way. Be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Now, this is one of the principles that Jesus taught, and wise people of the earth would say, well, that doesn't make any sense. They don't have enough, and they're going to lose what they have. They have more than enough, and they're going to get more. But it is how the principle works. And so if we don't focus on who we are, we're going to keep losing in the same areas that we've been losing. If I don't become heart level recognizing that I'm healed, I'm going to keep dealing with sickness. If I don't recognize the heart level of who I am and I'm trying to catch up on the bills, I'm going to keep getting farther behind. Diane and I proved you can work hard and still get behind. It's like there's holes in your pocket. It's like you can't make enough to just catch up. But you start knowing who you are. And it's funny how things will go farther. When you go farther. On the positive side, when you begin to see who you are, there begins to be awareness through meditation of who you are, then the things that we need to have happen in our life, we're not struggling with it anymore, and it begins to happen. Like, you know, the thing that I was telling you with the pill, I needed to just calm down and rest. And I know I'm going to hear this the next time I'm dealing with something like that. What did you say? She expects me to practice what I preach.
What
kind of wife is that, man? But notice here, it's in the Amplified, it says, thought and study, the thought and study that you give to what you're hearing. That, which is to me another way of saying meditation. So now I have confessions that I make every day, but I for a while I was just, man, I gotta get my confessions out there, because what's gonna happen this day if I don't get those confessions out there? But I've learned to, in fact, my daughter inadvertently challenged me on that, because she was saying about something about the Lord showed her how you can't just rattle these things off, and I didn't tell her, but I'm thinking, hey, yeah, I feel guilty about that one. What it comes down to is this: it's a matter of You're saying it, and I'm saying it, but I'm thinking about what I'm saying. I'm stopping and meditating on. As I go through, some of those things that I just challenged you with is what I challenge myself with. I'm a born again child of God. And you just say that and move on to the next thing. You can think, well, what does that mean? Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the labor that we're supposed to do, to become aware of who we are in Christ. Isaiah chapter 26. Verse 3. If you don't have this underlined, where have you been? You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. If you haven't yet, and you believe in writing in your Bible, you might want to circle the word mind and write in the margin, meditation. What you do with your phones, I have no idea. So it would read this way then. You will keep him in perfect peace. You will keep him in shalom, shalom, whose meditation is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You lean our meditation on him. We probably have leaned, is that the right word? Right way to say it? Leaned our mind on him. But we need to lean our meditation on him. There's the labor. What I wanted to think about when that pill was stuck in my throat was not the meditation that I needed to have. You know, think about it. If you're in that situation and your meditation becomes, I'm a child of God, I'm okay, no problem. Instead of, I can't breathe. Diane, does this make any sense to you at all?
Yeah.
So I hope that it at least challenges enough to make us think, well, I'm going to have to put some labor into this. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 8. Here's Joshua. Moses has died. Went up on the mountain and died. I guess he died anyway. They didn't find his body or anything like that. But anyway, well, he must be dead because God came down to Joshua and said, hey, Josh, Moses is dead. It's in your hands now. I'm sure that was good news to him. He knew those people and what they were like. And so then God begins to encourage him, like he will if we allow him to. This book, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. See, first you meditate, then you can do. For then you make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Now, meditate. There's a place to come of putting into practice, too. Actually stopping this and putting that, adding this and those kind of things. But it's a lot easier when you meditate and become aware of who you are first and then move on from there. Boy, Joshua needed to know who he was and who God was behind the situation. He didn't even have born-again experience like we have and had to lead these complaining, whining bunch into the promised land. Imagine what it was like to wander for 40 years while a whole generation is dying off. They were saying, I was reading, somebody estimated how many funerals there must have been a day as they were, that generation for it was getting older and they're wandering around. And I think that when they came around by Jericho, they could look over and see it. And then wander around again and come back around. Yep, there's Jericho. They had a good idea what Jericho looked like when they got marching around those walls. But Joshua, Caleb, those guys saying, give me the mountain. Let's do it. They knew something about being children of God, even the type of children of God they were in the Old Testament without having it inside, but yet they were God's chosen people. God said, we can have this land, then we can have this land. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Where is the labor? It's in the meditation. It's in, you know, be honest with yourself. Say, like I'm with me. Sometimes I just don't want to think that. I just don't want to try not to think this, but to think that. I just don't want to think about who I am in Christ. I would rather think about where I hurt and what's going wrong. What am I going to do now? There's a part of our soul, I guess, that's been trained to like meditating on the wrong stuff is really what it comes down to. I used to tease about, you know, you would some Christians will go down in the basement, turn out all the lights, put on Christian blues music, and just feel bad for a while. And it feels good to feel bad. Wasn't there a song about that or something? Unfortunately, that becomes, an hour becomes a day, and a day becomes a week, and a week becomes a month. It's a lifestyle. That's called depression. And it ain't no fun. Been down that road, don't want to go there anymore. When I feel myself going that way, no. Been there, don't like it. I came out once, and I don't want to do that again. I don't want to do that again. Hopelessness is the worst place to be. But there is no hopelessness in God. So, we meditate and we focus on who we are in Christ. And the first psalm talks about don't stand here, don't sit there, don't, you know. But instead, delight in the Lord, in the law of the Lord, meditate in his day, meditate in the day and night, and you'll be like a tree planted by the living water. Brings forth its fruit in his season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I got a couple more quotes I want to read to you, and then we'll move on to the next thing here. Through meditation, we experience God's word, God's presence, and God's promise, and they become real in our hearts. Let me read that again. Through meditation, we experience God's word, God's presence, and God's promise, and they become real in our hearts. One of the greatest things that happens as we ponder, consider, and meditate in the reality of Christ in us is that we become aware of who we really are. We enter the realm of being and live, we enter the realm of being and leave addition and subtraction behind. That's the realm we want to enter into. Who am I in Christ?